This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Folks, I've been preaching Christmas classics. I started out talking about The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Number two, It's a Wonderful Life. Number three, Home Alone. And I come to the fourth message this week. Let's stand. Can we stand and take our copy of God's Word, our iPad, iPhone, literal Bible, whatever we have? If you don't have any, it's right here. Luke chapter 2, this is what the Bible says. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, fear not." This is all I'm trying to say, folks. The only book that God ever wrote was the Bible. All these other books, you think, oh, they're fabulous and they're great and they're just books. But this is the Word of God. This is God's Word. And apparently, if God tells us something one time, He wants us to know it. But can you imagine, folks, if He said something 365 times? What if God said something 365 times? He did. That's what He said. Fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A Christmas Story. November the 18th, 1983, The Christmas Story was released. It was actually filmed in Cleveland, Ohio. Took literally 11 weeks to film this little Christmas movie, A Christmas Story. Now, there were several vignettes in the story. There was the father, Darren McGavin. Now, when they made this movie initially, Darren McGavin was the only actor who had notoriety. So half of the budget went to his salary. But what was interesting, if you really do a little background, he wasn't the first choice. They really didn't want him. They wanted Jack Nicholson. But not enough money. Not enough money. You remember the dad, through his company, had got a unique gift. That was one of the vignettes. But then there was the second vignette. It was the story of Flick. And Flick was triple dog dared to stick his tongue to the flagpole, and it got stuck. And then there was the Bumpus family. The Bumpus family that had 785 dogs. And if you'll remember, the Bumpus family dogs came to the Parker family and ate their Christmas dinner, and the Parker family had to go to the place that's always open, even on Christmas Day, the Chinese restaurant. Amen? But the real story, the plot of the story is about a 9-year-old boy named Ralphie Parker. What was interesting, as I researched, 8,000 little boys tried out for that part. 8,000 tried out, but Peter Billingsley landed the part. Now, let me tell you who Peter Billingsley was. His aunt was a lady named Barbara Billingsley. And if anybody ever watched Leave It to Beaver, some of you are trying to act like you're too young. No, you're not. You remember it. You remember Leave It. She was the mother. She was Ward Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver. And I don't know if that was instrumental in him getting the part or not, but nevertheless, he got the part. And it's a story about a 9-year-old boy. And the 9-year-old boy, Ralphie Parker, says, All I want for Christmas is a Red Ryder BB gun. But he gets all kind of discouragement. His teacher says, You can't get a Red Ryder BB gun because if you do, you'll shoot your eye out. And his mom says, you can't get a Red Ryder BB gun, because if you get that Red Ryder BB gun, you'll shoot your eye out. Even Santa Claus says that you can't get that Red Ryder BB gun, because if you get a Red Ryder BB gun, you'll shoot your eye out. But if you watch the story all the way through, at the end, surprisingly, Ralphie gets the Red Ryder BB gun, and he's lying in bed, and he says these words, this is the best present I've ever received or I ever will receive. This is the best present I've ever received or ever will receive. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, Ralphie wasn't exactly right. Because the best present you'll ever receive or ever will receive is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the best present. He's the best present. See, folks, when I think about this giving, this whole deal, I think, well, all this stuff. I went out yesterday and tried to do a little shopping, and I thought it was the time of brotherly love, and I found out it was the time of brotherly shove, amen? But all this gift giving, I thought, well, it started with the wise men. But you know, folks, it probably really started with God. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The best Christmas is Jesus Christ. And folks, what I want to tell you, when you get Jesus Christ, I want to tell you what comes with Jesus. Amen? I want to tell you what comes with this package. Because see, folks, God's gift to us is pardon. God's gift to us is pardon. See, look what the Bible says in Luke 2 and 11. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. In my Bible, folks, when I got to that word Savior, I took out an ink pen and I underlined it. And I circled the word Savior. I circled it because I realized that's what I needed. But not only did I need a Savior, according to verse 10, it says, which shall be to all people. Every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us needed pardon. And every one of us needed a Savior. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the gift of pardon. Christmas is all about God forgives. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? That means, folks, that I can be right with God because I've accepted Jesus Christ. That means God sees me as righteous, not on the basis of what I've done, but on the basis that I've accepted Jesus Christ. And you can be right with God, ladies and gentlemen, because you have accepted Jesus Christ. I read about a young lady in Texas. She was in law enforcement, 31 years old. Her name was Amber Geiger. And Amber Geiger, 31 years old, walked into an apartment, and she thought it was her apartment. But it really wasn't her apartment. And when she walked into the apartment, there was a man eating a bowl of cereal in the apartment. And she thought he had broken in to her apartment. So she did something. She shot and killed Botham Jean. Shot and killed. He was only in his apartment, just eating a bowl of cereal. And it goes to trial for the murder of this young man. His brother, Brant Jean, testifies. And this is what he says.
I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do.
Now wait. Yeah, you can clap. But that's not the end of the story. He then says to the lady that's judge, he says, can I get up and go hug her? And the judge says, yes, you can. And he gets up and he goes and hugs the young lady. And then the judge gives the young lady a Bible. You said, Pastor, it all turned out wonderful. No, no, no. Didn't change the fact that Botham Jean was killed. And it didn't change the fact that there had to be payment for that death. There had to be payment. And that's why the judge sentenced the young lady to 10 years in prison. Because there had to be payment for that death. I want you to understand, folks, there had to be payment for our sin. There had to be payment for your sin. There had to be payment for my sin. But Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed us white as snow. I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, God's gift to us this Christmas is pardon. Because if we had needed information, God would have sent an educator. And if we had needed technology, God would have sent a scientist. And if we had needed money, God would have sent an economist. And if we had needed pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But we needed forgiveness, so God sent a Savior, the way of a manger, so we could be washed free from sin. Jesus did not come to wash our sins, did not come to rub our sins in, but to rub them out. I want you to understand God's gift to us is pardon. But I want you to understand something else. God's gift to us is peace. What the Bible says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace. You know, in World War I, 16 million people died in World War I. And we had been in the war for about 8 months. And it was 1914 on Christmas Eve. And on one particular location, the Germans and the Brits were battling. And on December the 24th, on Christmas Eve, there was a German soldier, true story, who started singing, O Holy Night, O Holy Night. And that German soldier listened closely, and the Brits started singing, O Holy Night. And then the German soldier yelled out, you don't shoot, we don't shoot. And the Brits yelled back, you don't shoot, we don't shoot. Documented. They met at the middle of the battlefield and called a truce that lasted 6 days. Documented. Over 100,000 soldiers involved. The first thing they started doing was burying one another's dead. Burying one another's dead. And then they had a meal together, documented. And then they played soccer. 6 days, 100,000 soldiers. Because one soldier started singing, truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Let me tell you, you know what the gospel is about? John 14 and 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. So, Pastor, this peace that you're preaching about, I sure could use it. I sure could use it. How can I have peace in my life? Pastor, how can I have it? Well, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Somebody said, "Pastor, I want peace. Where's it at?" Three simple steps. Number one, you got to come to Jesus. Coming to me. Coming to me. I want you to know something. Peace is not an appeal. You hear me closely. There's no high like the Most High. Peace is not an appeal. Peace is not in a patch. Peace is not in a program. Peace is not in a philosophy. Peace is in a person. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. You want peace in your life? You come to Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Your world may be going haywire, but you can have peace in Jesus. You come to Jesus, but wait, folks. Then you connect with Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? Take my yoke upon you. I studied that. What does a yoke do? It connects two ox. It connects two ox. And as I researched it, this is what I found. When they put two ox together, they put an older, more mature ox with a young ox. And the more mature ox absorbs the brunt of the load. The more mature ox is who the young ox leans on. What we need to do is we need to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to lean on Him. So you come to Jesus. You connect with Jesus. And look, get this down, folks. Events like this are tremendous. You said, "Pastor, this is great." Yes. Events are great for decisions, but change in your life will come through a process. That message you preached, Pastor, it changed my life. No. The message I preached didn't change your life. Change is going to come through a process. It's going to come through a process. That's why we get to point number three. Commit to Jesus daily. Look what verse 29 says. Take my yoke upon you. Wait. And do what of me? Learn of me. That tells me it's a process. You commit to Jesus daily. Now, folks, here's what I want you to understand. If you read all 66 books of the Word of God, the only time that Jesus described Himself, the only time He gave a description of Himself is right here. Jesus never said, folks, "I'm the man." Jesus never said, "I'm strong and powerful." Jesus never said any of that terminology. The only way that Jesus ever described Himself was right here. He said, "I'm meek and lowly." And if we're going to be like Jesus, you say, "We got to go up." No, if we're going to be like Jesus, we got to go down. See, folks, we've got to decrease that He might increase. Amen. We've got to decrease that He might increase. We've got to humble ourselves so Jesus Christ can be exalted. It's not us, it's Him, folks. We don't deserve. Let me tell you something. God may share His power with a man or woman, but He will not share His glory with anyone, and the glory belongs to God. So here's what I want you to understand. What's God's gift to you this Christmas? It's pardon. It's peace. But I'm almost done. It's His presence. God's gift to us is His presence. Look what that verse says. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel." What does that mean, preacher? God's with us. What does that mean for you? God's with you. What does that mean? No matter what you go through, God is going to be with you. That verse, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. When that was written, when the New Testament was written, it was written in Greek. And this is what Greek scholars say. They say in that verse, there are five negatives. So that verse actually read like this. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave nor forsake you. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave nor forsake you. This week, maybe because I knew this weather was coming, I was studying hurricanes. I found out something very interesting, You may already know this, but the calmest part of a storm, remember this, folks, of any storm, always remember what Preacher Benny's teaching you, is the eye of the storm. It's the eye. That's why you hear that they flew a plane through the eye of the storm. Because the strong surface winds never reach the center of the storm. They form a cylinder. Literally, they form a cylinder. And that forms a cylinder of calm air. The eye of the storm. It may be terrible all around. But the eye is calm. The disciples got in a storm in Matthew chapter 14. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. Now the fourth watch, it was somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. But at 3 and 6, between 3 and 6 in the morning, they were still up because they were in a storm. How many of you have ever had a 3 and 6 in the morning, but you're still up? Between 3 and 6, they were still up. And the Bible says in verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now they were troubled, and they said, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, you be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. I say, it is I. Be not afraid, because I am the eye of the storm. And the storm may be raging around you, but as long as you've got the eye of the storm, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to make it through. And as long as you got Jesus, you will make it through, because he is the eye of the storm. And he's been through enough to know he'll be enough. And you're going to make it because of Jesus. I was thinking, even this week, God's gift to us is pardon. If we got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell. Somebody, I heard a preacher one time, he said, if I got what I deserved before I got saved, I'd be in hell. If I got what I deserve since I've been saved, I'd still be in hell. God's been gracious and kind. God's gift to us is pardon. And God's gift to us is peace. And God's gift to us is his presence. I want you to know, folks, he's with you. He's with you. He's Emmanuel. I want to tell you a story, and I'm done. There was a time in my life I was pastoring this church. One of the lowest points in my life. And get this down today. Get this down. If you try to do something for God the devil's coming at you. Anytime there's opportunity, there's opposition. And you try to do something for God, the devil's going to come at you. That goes with it. That goes with it. But listen, folks, if I didn't bump into him from time to time, I'd think we're going in the same direction. Amen? So I was going through a very difficult time. And I couldn't sleep. I'd toss and turn. And Barbara knew that I was struggling. Couldn't sleep. And I was going to preach on a Sunday, much like today. And about 1 o'clock, I hadn't batted an eye. Knowing I had to, just to be honest, just to be transparent, folks, knowing I had to come and preach, and I didn't want to come and preach. I didn't want to come and preach. It's cold, and I get this big old coat and cover myself and wrap my head up. 1 o'clock in the morning, I go to a walking track, and I'm walking. It's 1 in the morning. No idiots there other than me. It's 1 in the morning, and I'm walking. And all of a sudden, I look up, and just a little bit ahead of me is a woman. And I thought, where did she come from? And the woman stopped. And she turned around and she looked at me. Now, somebody said, you may not believe what Brother Benny believes, but after hearing him preach, you'll believe he believes what he believes. She turned around and she looked at me, and I'll never forget it if I live to be 100. This is what she said. She said, are you a preacher? Are you a preacher? And Barbara, I'll never forget what I thought. I said, I don't want to be tonight. I sure don't want to be right now. I thought that. But she said, are you a preacher? And I said, yes, I am. And she looked at me and she said, just as straight, she says, I'm here to tell you, I've come to tell you, that if you'll take it all and you'll place it in God's hands, it will all work out. She said, I'm here to tell you, if you'll place it in God's hands, it will all work out. She said that. When she said that words, those words to me, I dropped my head and I started to cry. And just a few moments later, I lifted my head up and she was gone. She disappeared. Now, you may not believe that. She said, but I really don't care. I have to sleep. I have to take half of baby aspirin to worry about it. But I believe Hebrews 13:2. I believe God sent an angel. God sent an angel. And here's what God was saying to me. My presence is with you. And I'll see you through no matter what. My presence is with you, folks. And I'll see you through. I'll see you through. I'll see you through. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I don't have the connections. I don't have, no, you don't have to worry about the connections. If you've got the presence of God, He's enough. If you've got the presence of God, He's enough. God's enough to see you through. I just want to say to you this Christmas, God's gift to you is pardon. I just want to say to you this Christmas, God's gift to you is His peace. I just want to say to you, God's gift to you this Christmas is His presence. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.